Chapter 52 Dalinar 4 High storm clouds bulged in the distance. It had only been 20 days since the last storm, but it seemed like so much longer. The Lait's plants drooped in the constant sunlight, many retreating within their shells. What had been green just a week before was now withered and wan. The great Kolinar River had slowed to practically a trickle. The effects of the searing were strong here, even in the most fertile area of Alethkar. But a high storm was coming at last. And it was no ordinary storm. This was the Almighty's bellow, most powerful and impressive storm of the year. It would bring both life and destruction. Outside the Lait in the less sheltered farmlands, all spring crops would have long been harvested. Most people would be tucked within safe granite homes. Those too poor to afford good stone houses would wait in the village storm shelter. No man, beggar, thief, or traveler, would be abandoned to the bellow's fury. In the Lait, less concern was necessary. Yet even here they had to be cautious. The bellow's power would be dulled by the steep valley walls, but not rendered impotent. Wise men remained indoors. Dalinar stayed on his balcony watching the storm approach. During recent weeks it seemed he had little reason to call himself wise. He knew not how Merrin and Renarin had managed to elude his trackers, but he was only mildly surprised at the feat. Both boys had often proven themselves too clever for their own good. Dalinar kept his men searching, but he had little hope that he would discover them before they arrived at their destination. Even riding at a moderate pace, two unencumbered men would have been able to reach Crossguard in 2 weeks' time. All of Kolinar knew of the disappearance, of course. Most people had even guessed at the boys' destination. What had been a scandal when Arador left had since become a catastrophe. Dalinar's men reported a feeling of unrest in the town. The barrooms were full of questions, wondering who would be heir, and postulations on whether or not Dalinar would have the honor to disinherit both of his sons. Even quieter were the grumbles that claimed the boys were right, that it was wrong to wait like women when the rest of the kingdom fought. Dalinar had lost his courage, they whispered. The tyrant Bane no longer had the will to fight. And they were right. Dalinar knew they were. His neutrality was a weak move, an indication of uncertainty. The old Dalinar would never have done such a thing. He would have made a decision, then followed it with tenacity, no matter what the consequences. That was honor, holding to one's word and being willing to give it in the first place. Instead, he waited. Without the oath gates and with the river being too low to carry boats, information from the east was scarce. The battle would have started days ago. Men probably fought and died even as Dalinar stared at the approaching clouds. Or perhaps the fighting was over. Elokar would have had to strike quickly to counteract the grumblings of his allies who were already fatigued from several years at war. Dalinar gritted his teeth, fingers gripping his balcony's stone rail. He needed information. In the past, he had been one of the first to receive battlefield news. This time, however, he had placed himself in a tangential position. Since he had chosen to support neither combatant, neither would see any urgency in keeping him informed. That left him with his own messengers, sent to gather what they could. These were few, however. Arador, Renarin, and Merrin's pilferings, combined with the horses Dalinar had been required to give their pursuers, had left his stables depleted of its best stock. The storm was near. It was even darker than most, and its approach was like the shadow of night. Dalinar thought he could feel it nearing, the air cooling as if in frightened worry, the breeze curling with anticipatory winds. While his cultured Vorin senses reminded him that there was nothing mystical in the storms, he couldn't help shivering slightly as the bellow approached. Its unnatural blackness, its expected rage, its inevitability. A rider appeared on the Lait ridge. The man sped down the switchbacks at a reckless pace, his cloak flapping with familiar blue. The land darkened behind him, water beginning to pour down the rocky slopes. In the distance, Dalinar could hear a low roar, the surging Kolinar River swelling in its banks as sudden and furious waters fed its long-dried thirst. The rider reached the base of the slope as the rains overtook him, obscuring Dalinar's view. A moment later, darkness took the palace and a wave of wind-driven rains smashed into Dalinar. He tightened his grip on the rail, squinting his eyes in the powerful tempest. All was dark. He felt his cloak writhing and whipping behind him. Chill water bit his skin, instantly soaking his clothing. He could hear nothing beyond the incessant slam of raindrops against stone. He took one rain-laced breath, then fled into his rooms, throwing his weight against the storm shutters and closing them behind him. Compared to the chaos outside, even the rattling shutters and background roar of the rain seemed peaceful. Dalinar wiped his face, dripping water onto the sitting room rugs. Kalkana would have been furious. Kanay would only see them cleaned and dried, offering neither complaint nor reprimand. Dalinar stood for a moment, thinking about the messenger. The man's news was probably inconsequential. It was unlikely that he was a rider from Crossguard. He was probably just one of Renarin's pursuers returning to give further word of defeat. Or perhaps he was just a rider from one of the outer tribute cities come to make a report. Yet why would such a man have risked the bellow? Why ride with such direct zeal rather than stopping for shelter? A quiet, worried impression told Dalinar to seek refuge from the news as he had fled the storm winds. There was something very wrong about the messenger's arrival. Dalinar quietly changed his clothing, then walked through hushed hallways toward his audience chamber. Servants and minor attendants watched him, yet none moved to speak or interrupt. He arrived at the hall and seated himself in his chair. All was still. Then the audience doors burst open. The messenger stood haggard and wet. "My lord," he gasped, apparently surprised to find Dalinar already waiting in the chamber. He fell to one knee, though he looked so wearied he could barely maintain the posture. "Speak," Dalinar said.
"My lord,"
the man said, trailing off, a look of despair in his eyes. He was one of the men Dalinar had sent to Crossguard. The messenger looked up, gathering strength, but Dalinar knew the words before they were spoken.
"My lord," the messenger said, "your son, Arador Kolin, is dead."
Dalinar didn't react. He didn't yell out his grief, cry out in pain, or even close his eyes in mourning. "How?" Dalinar asked, surprised at the stiff strength in his voice.
"Executed, my lord," the messenger said. "By the king, along with Lord Jezzan Rush and his sons. Crossguard fell 8 days ago, the walls destroyed by awakeners. The king himself led the charge inside."
"Renarin?" Dalinar asked.
"No word, my lord,"
the messenger said, looking down.
"But..."
Dalinar nodded. The boy had no shard blade. There was a good chance that, if killed, Renarin would be ignored amongst the bodies. A small group of noblemen was gathering behind the messenger, just outside the audience hall. Dalinar saw confusion and shock. And with those emotions, he saw something else. Something Dalinar felt burning within his own breast. Something stronger than fatigue, surprise, or even logic. Anger. Dalinar stood. The noblemen outside stopped their whispering and waited with expectant eyes.
"Lord Achathan,"
Dalinar said, still amazed that his voice could sound so solid and determined when within, pain squirmed and wept.
"You made an offer to me the first day of your arrival a week ago."
The firm-faced man stepped to the front of the group and nodded.
"I remember, Lord Dalinar." "Gather your allies and mine," Dalinar commanded. "Prepare them for war. Tell them that the Tyrant Bane is needed again."